Okay. All
Test
right,
one, two.
guys, let's
Hello.
get started. Welcome and
Hello.
thank you for coming to hear about Windows Server 2012 R2 work folders. My name is Nir Ben-Zvi. With me is William Gerassi,
Hello
called
there.
Bill. And we are program managers on this project. And on behalf of us and the team in Redmond, we're very happy to introduce that to you. We've been working very hard on this, considering that Windows Server 2012 was just released last year. This is a project that took about several months to just get from the beginning to now, and we're going to release it very soon. So a lot of effort and a lot of time has been put into this project. Before we start, there is some bad news and good news. So I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is this is the first time we're doing it ever. So we are on stage to show you this feature set, and we've never done it before. Expect some trouble with this. I know Bill's demo would work great. I'm not sure how much I would stagger when I go through the slides. The good news, though, is you have the absolutely world experts in the server UX, which is Bill that designed the server UX for this feature set. And another good news is that you're in the premiere of the introduction of work folders. So, there's a good and a bad. And then the next session, which is a deep dive about work folders, is going to be delivered by some superb presenters that are sitting in the crowd here. So you're going to enjoy that as well. So with that, let's start with the session. So we're going to talk about very, very simple things when we talk about work folders. And the idea is that we wanted to deliver a simple, straightforward, understood feature set that you can take Server 2012 R2.
That was me.
See, he's already doing it to me. All right. We talked about it, Bill. Okay, so we'll talk about the background and why we did what we did. We'll introduce you to work folders, and then we'll walk through a few deployments. Now, this is a 200-level session. There's a 300-level session, as I said, following that if you want some more details. But even the 200-level session, you'll see how simple it is to just go ahead and deploy it, play around it with the lab, and then deploy it in real life. So what's the problem set that we've been seeing when we started working on work folders? So the problem set is very simple. Information workers would like to work on older devices wherever they are. We would like to enable them to do that because they are happy, and they also work much more than if they just work in the office. IT administrators and companies would like to make sure that the data that information workers are using and creating and consuming on their desktop, on their mobile devices, is being compliant, can be used by discovery processes, is secure to prevent leakage, and so on and so on. However, today the situation is that many information workers just store their data on public consumer cloud products, so, or offering services. For example, who here has folks from his company storing things on SkyDrive? Okay? Or Dropbox? Okay? If you think about it, if you're under any regulation, you probably have problems of doing things like e-discovery. When these folks leave the company, the data stays with them. It doesn't stay with the company. You can't find a copy of that data, and so on and so on. So that's a problem set that we started looking at as we finished Windows Server 2012. That's the bring your own device, people-centric IT, being able to enable information workers to do their work while enabling also compliance for the IT administrators. By the way, how many of you guys are IT administrators or architects? All right, so I'm talking to the right people then. Okay, and we wanted to make it simple. They didn't upload my latest slides. but never mind, I'll forgive them for that. So in this slide, I had a nice icon that says, I love file servers. I'm a file server guy. I came to the file server team 7 years ago, and I keep doing new things every year. It's just amazing the amount of innovation and technology that we put into file servers. I assume that some of you used file servers in 2003, maybe 2008, that were decent file servers, but you were afraid to put more than 2 terabytes here, or build a cluster of file servers, and so on and so on. How many of you guys have seen the dedup session today? The dedup example in the keynote? So file server in Windows Server 2012, and also in R2, has an amazing array of feature set, scalability, continuous availability, and performance, where you can run Hyper-V on it, you can run SQL servers on it, and so on and so on. It also has the traditional SMB shares and NFS shares and iSCSI. So all this in one file server machine. And now in Windows Server 2012 R2, we're introducing another protocol to the file server, which is the sync protocol. How many of you guys know about offline files, folder redirection? Okay, home folders. How many of you are using it? Excellent. So you all know, or most of you know, that you're able, when you're on-prem, to sync the user's data to all their devices, which is great. When I have a new machine, or when I install a new build of Windows 8.1, I just get my data to my device. I don't need even to think about it. It's all there for me, available immediately as I install the OS. This is using folder redirection and client-side caching. It would have been a great solution for BYOD. However, it just works in your on-prem environment. So once you leave the campus, or you're using a device that's not Windows, that's the end of it, or not domain joined even. Enters work folders. So before I go in detail this, how many of you guys know about SkyDrive Pro? Okay, excellent. Of course, Box, all the other folks that are doing a great job. When you think about work folders, I want you to think first and foremost about file servers. So if you are looking to, say, use online storage for your work data, then SkyDrive Pro is the answer. You have a great answer there. You can use that as your solution. If you are looking to use your existing file server investments to sync your users' data, then workfolders is your solution. Why did Microsoft go and build two different solutions to the same problem? Because of you guys. Some of you want to use the online services. Some of you want to use the on-prem file services. So Microsoft came in and said, we'll give you the breadth of these solutions so that you can use whatever you think is the right thing to do. There's many industries where you would go and say, I'm not going to put my files online. We just talked at lunch to someone from the finance industry who said, we have a private cloud. We're never going to put stuff on the public cloud. That's fine. They can use either SharePoint on-prem or file servers on-prem, whatever they prefer. Our goal in file servers, in work folders, in file servers, was to allow the IT admin to enable information workers to provide, to sync their data from all their devices, from anywhere, while keeping the data in compliance with the organization's needs. Now, there's a few things that we did there that are very, very simple as kind of like an extension of the file server. So one is we just extended, if you think about, as I said, SMB shares, NFS shares, now we have sync shares. So you have shares that you can sync to. we allow to centralize desktop data. Many of you and many companies that I work with for many years, they have tons of data on the desktop computers that they can't control. Users create this data, users send this data by email, users do things with this data. Now, wouldn't it be nice if you could take this desktop data, centralize it so that you can control it, you can back it up, you can protect it, and so on. This is what work folders allows you to do. Another thing that, if you think a little bit about the future, it's very easy to then separate the work data from the personal data on the devices. So if I have a BYOD device and I have a location where I put my work data on, then I can actually use that to separate between my work data and personal data. And we already take advantage of that when we use selective wipe to wipe only your work data when the employee leaves the company or when you want to wipe the device. And last but not least, we took the model that SkyDrive does, SkyDrive Pro does, and so on, and we simplified the way that we sync the data and store the data on the user's devices. And we'll show it to you in a second, but basically we use a folder, like any other folder, and we sync that folder to the server, and the files on this folder, unlike CSC, unlike client-side caching, the files on this folder are not mirrored to somewhere strange on the operating system. There's no driver. There's nothing like that. It's just a folder with simple files. You can do everything that you want to do on the files on this folder. As soon as you update the folder, we sync it to the server. The server does its stuff, distribute to all other machines, and you're good to go. What we're not doing, as I said, this is not about consumer data. Consumer data is SkyDrive. It's not about a public cloud service. This would be SkyDrive Pro. We also didn't put in this release, which was a very short time release, we didn't put anything about collaboration between users. So you couldn't go and say, oh, I'd like to collaborate with Joe. I want to share this file with Joe. This is only about your files. Your work files are being synced to the server and to all your devices. And last but not least, something that's important, but again didn't get into this release, is the ability to go and say, oh, I have this sales share with all these demos. Let me sync it to my device. So again, work folders in Windows Server 2012 R2 is only about your data that you sync up to the server. As you work on your data, it syncs up to all your devices. Bill will show us how this works on the information worker side.
Thank you. Here I have two screens. The first screen, the Office PC, you could see this as Paul, who's an IW worker, and he's in finance. His system has already been set up through group policy. As you can see in the work folders directory, he has files in there already with anticipation that when he hooks up his personal devices, this data will sync to his other devices. And let me show you. We're using this as his Surface, his personal Surface. I'll show you how easy it is to set up, and then we can talk through the steps. So we go to the control panel, and we look for work folders. And we bring up the work folders wizard. All we need is our email address. And through this wizard, it's going to find the server and set up the configuration so that we can start syncing. Since this is not a domain join machine, we are prompted for our credentials again. And as you can see, it's been set up. The wizard's asking us whether we'd like to move the folder to another location, but we'll take the default. The one other thing that happens is there are policies that gets by the IT administrator as to what your device policies need to be. And here we're going to require encryption of work folders, you know, password on the PC, lock of the screen. So you have to accept these policies in order to opt into this feature. And it is now set up, and it brings up our work folders on our Surface. The files have already been synced from my Office PC. And so now that I have my Surface operational, I'm going to create a little note to myself. Session going well. And I hope you all think so. And now I'll save it to work folders. And I've saved it onto the Surface, and momentarily, whoops, I guess that's why. It's on the Office PC. So what you can see is you can set up in a corporate environment using group policy. You can also set up the infrastructure so that the wizard will run and just basically by using your email address that you can discover the server that you're connecting to, and the sync just automatically configures and works smoothly.
Thank you, Bill. By the way, before we move to the slide deck, as you can see, the screen background here is actually artwork that Bill did. So if you need an artist, you know, come to Bill afterward if you like the pictures. We are selling them. Okay.
Thank you, Nir.
I get commission, right? Okay. So
25%.
You've seen this was, again, simple. The emphasis is on being simple. The user didn't need to know anything other than his email address, and magic happened, and he got his files synced to his device. And there's a bunch of things going around in the background. We'll talk about them. But let's first talk about the different aspects, the different components of what you've just seen. So one is we have the file server that's sitting on the corpnet and is exposing sync protocols through HTTP to all the different clients. The other aspect is on the server itself, we also allow you to use multiple sync shares. What does that mean? It means that I can actually say that the finance folks that are very heavily regulated are syncing to one place, and that the sales folks that are crazy and doing some crazy stuff are syncing to a completely other place. So that I can have separation between them, I can have different quotas, I can have different policies, and so on. Now, the file server that has multiple sync shares also have a way, you also have a way to apply different policies on the different sync shares and use all the different capabilities that the file server has to actually use the right policies, the right storage optimizations for these users. The last component is, of course, the device itself. The files get synced to the device. These were completely regular folders on the device where the files get synced to. We monitor these folders and we monitor each change and synchronize between the server and the devices. But that's all we do. You could actually go, if you have home folders, for example, or if you have client-side caching and folder redirection, you could actually have a Windows 7 device that goes to the exact same place using home folders or client-side caching, go to the same place on the server, and use that client-side caching with Windows 7, and use work folders with Windows 8.1. So it's all about simple SMB access and sync access to the same place. In the background, the file server takes care of making sure that whatever you updated with SMB gets synced back to the clients. Let me walk you through how the deployment looks like. So let's start on the left side where we have the devices. So no longer are we talking about just Windows and not just Windows 8.1. Of course, Windows 8.1, as you saw, will be able to sync data across devices. RT, Surface Pro, all of this would work. We're also adding and working on adding Windows 7 into the fold, because most of the organization have Windows 7. And we are also working on adding iPad into the fold so that we have basic initial coverage. And then as we continue, we'll add more and more devices and form factors into the fold to be able to do sync to the file servers. Our first goals would be Windows 8.1, Windows 7, and iPad. Then as we move into the organization, we have between the file server and the devices, we, of course, if the devices are outside of the organization, you need to go through some proxy. We're using HTTPS from the devices. You need to go through some proxy, or you know, you can also use firewall rules to get into the file server. And as you saw briefly in what Bill said, when the device connects to the file server has some basic policies that the device needs to adhere to. So one, we make the device, or we make sure the device is password protected so that you know, user's data does not get, or the corporate data does not get exposed. Second, we allow you to create an encryption container on the device. We use encrypted file system for that, so that the files are encrypted on the device itself. And also, how many of you guys have seen the registration demo for device registration? So we also have the capability to interoperate with ADFS to only allow registered devices to sync to the file server. So you can actually have all these three policies: password protected, information is encrypted on the device, and only registered devices can access the data, so that you have full coverage of protection on the device. On the authentication side, what we use is we can use either Windows authentication or we can use ADFS authentication. So both are available to you, whatever you want to choose. And on the file server, on the back end, we have all these richness of data management capabilities, DDoP capabilities, and so on. Since we are using everything as regular shares, you know, this just kick in. So if you want to assign quota to your users' data, if you want to assign, you want to automatically classify it, you want to RMS protect it, you want to do file screening or reporting, e-discoveries, all the stuff that you can do on file servers today, you can do now on the user's data that's sitting on the desktops. And again, for some industries, this is a huge, huge problem today, that all the data is sitting on the desktops and you have no ability to know what's there, to report on what's there, and to also make sure that you have leakage protection. This simple feature allows you to bring this data from the desktops into your file servers and do all the stuff in the background without needing to bother the information workers. Even better, you don't bother them. They want to do it because they get their data everywhere they are on all their devices, either the domain joined devices or their home devices. So it's a win-win for both the users and for us that want to manage the data. Let's look at the server side, what you as an IT admin would need to do to enable the feature set.
Thank you, Nir. From an IT admin point of view, there's server manager, which is basically your console into managing file and storage services. We've taken the same approach with work folders, and I have up here a screen, the Add Roles and Features wizard, and this is where you would enable the feature. I already have it enabled, and we'll go on to the next phase. So once you've enabled the feature, the work folders canvas is now enabled, and in this particular example, we already have a sync share already enabled. So you can see that from the name of the sync share, it's finance, and we have the description, it has the path, and more importantly, it shows the security group, and the security group has all of the users which have access to the sync share. And if we go down to the users tile, this is basically showing you a list of every single user that's in the security group. And for a monitoring purpose or just validation, you could consider at some times that you had some users that might be more problematic than others, and they're saying that their files aren't being synced or it isn't working correctly or whatever the multitude of questions may be. And you can easily select that user in the filter, as we have with Paul. And you can bring up his properties. This is the user properties page. And from here you can see his Office PC as well as the Surface is syncing. The last successful access, which is right around the time we were doing the demo. And last attempted access. If there was indeed any errors, they'd show up here. And it gives you a very good snapshot of a user sync session. So now you've seen what it looks like for a running system. Well, in the meantime, while all of this was going on, Paul was talking with Sally from sales and explaining to her that work folders is the greatest thing for his department because not only can he work at work and work at home, but he can use whatever device he wants and doesn't have to rely on corporate devices. Well, Sally talked to her boss and said, we should have this in our department as well. So needless to say, a work request came in, and we need to create a sync share for sales. So I'll show you how to do that. We launched the sync wizard, and it's basically like all the other wizards within Server Manager. It's already pre-selected the system, and we could actually use an SMB share because it lists the SMB shares on the server. But what we're going to do is we're going to not use SMB, and we're going to define the share separately. If I can see the keyboard.
I have some light here with my Windows 8 phone.
I'm there. Thank you. This particular screen is talking about the naming of the folder, that every user's folder will be named, and the default is to use their alias. And here we select the security group. And the policies that we saw when we enabled the Surface, they come from the setup that's here. So I'm also selecting encrypt work folders. And at the point that we've created this sync share, all the ACLs that were set up per user allows them to have read-write access to the folder. And as you can see, well, let me get rid of this filter. And when we look at sales, you can now see that the two folks that are in the sales security group are now enabled for sync shares and work folders. So what we've seen is how to enable work folders through the Add Roles and Wizard, how to manage and look at different people through a already existing sync share, and how to create a new sync share.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
And again, this is very, very simple stuff. And it just works. We've had many colleagues in Microsoft try it out, and they've come up and said, wow, this is really easy to set up. The one thing we didn't show you is, of course, you need to install an SSL certificate on this server so that you have HTTPS working, and you need to publish it either through your IP mechanisms or HTTP proxy mechanisms. All right, so given the knowledge that you have right now, I bet you can go home and install and use work folders. There are two scenarios that I'd like to highlight that you can use as you walk out this room, of course, as we release the Server 2012 beta. If you want to have your information workers from any department, either specific department or all of them, sync all their data, all their corporate data, to a file server through all the devices, and you're good with the devices that we provide in V1, you're good to go. If you already have a solution that is using home folders or client-side caching for the redirection, you can just add new devices that are 8.1 that to use work folders on the same exact files, so that new devices use work folders, current devices use home folders or client-side caching, and you got your BYOD devices also being able to use the work folders infrastructure. So instead of needing to tear down all your infrastructure and put in a new solution, you can put a solution for your new devices as they roll out. So this is two scenarios to think about. If you have these scenarios and you spend a very little time, it's very simple to get work folders up and running and then enjoy all the benefits of having the data on the server and being able to back it up, control it, and so on. So these are the things I want you to think about as you leave the room. Now let me tell you a little bit more about work folders and get more into the a little bit more advanced features. We're still at the 200 level. The clicker works. Yeah. How do I deploy work folders on devices? There are three different ways to do it. So you've seen Bill do it manually. And Bill used an email address. You could also use a URL if you wanted to. We didn't use that here, but you could send your users, you know, you're from the sales, use this URL, and then they would just skip that email and go directly to a URL. You could do that. Of course, you can use an email as we showed you. You can also use group policy. So much like folder redirection today and client-side caching, you could say, you know, all of NIR's devices need to sync, here's the server URL, and put it in group policy, and when I log into the network with my new device, it will just sync. Or even when I'm outside, it will just sync as I log into the new device, as long as I got group policy. Now, these settings, I can get through the regular group policy, or I can also get through Intune. So all my managed devices would also get the same settings, and I would be able to use this to actually set work folders across all devices that I manage. However, there's one thing that I hate. When I log into some server in Microsoft to do something, I get all my files there. I just hate that because I don't want my files there. I just logged in to do something very, very simple. I immediately get group policy and everything gets synced and I see all my pictures and all my stuff there. And I just keep complaining to the client-side caching guys, but they're not solving this for me. Right, Molly? By the way, we have Molly in the room. Molly is the dev lead for the work folders feature set. And you've seen her all in the keynote where she beautifully presented the demos for the people-centric pillar. So we solved that in work folders. We basically said, you know, they told me, Nir, since you hate this feature, let's solve it for you. And what they did actually is, or what we did, is we said, you're able to, you get group policy, but you opt into the feature. So you get group policy, and as I log into my device, I get a prompt saying, oh, do you want work folders? If I choose to enable it, it's enabled. I have all the settings there. I don't need to do anything. If I choose not to enable it, it's not enabled. So I don't get all my files synced to this device, foreign device that I don't know about. So these are the four modes. There's the group policy Intune mode. There are the manual modes. We've shown you the simple ones. We've shown you the email. We didn't show you group policy, but it would be as simple. And the, we'll talk a little bit about why we need also a URL mode in case you would like to use it. Another thing that was very important to us is the end-to-end security. This is all about being able to be compliant and being able to make sure that you guys are taking care of data leakage and issues that are very important to your business. So let's start again from the left to right. First, we can, of course, apply policy on the devices, so require password protection, have an EFS enterprise container that's encrypted for the files, allow selective wipe, and I didn't miss anything there. I just want to have a word about the selective wipe. Basically, since we use EFS, we use a special source of EFS that's actually an 8.1 EFS, and it's encrypted file system on the Windows client. So we encrypt all the files in the work folders container, and we encrypt it with a special key that belongs to the enterprise, say to Microsoft, or if you work in Intel, and so on and so on. So that then, when we want to wipe the device, we do selective wipe, we just wipe that specific key. So we just get rid of the key, the Microsoft key, and the user no longer has access to the data that belongs to the Microsoft key. So that's selective wipe for us. We have a secure HTTPS channel from the client to the server. You can't use HTTP unless you're an admin and you set some funky stuff on the registry. You will not be able to use HTTP. And then once the data gets to the server, we have a slew of things. First of all, as I said, authentication, of course, we authenticate to Active Directory. So no matter what, you have to authenticate to Active Directory. We can limit access to only registered devices using ADFS. And as the data gets to the server, there's a few very important things that we do. The first thing is that you can configure it so that only the user has access to its data. No longer can the admin go and say, I mistakenly went into this folder set. He has to actually go ahead and do some very invasive operations to get to that data, even to see it. We have, how many of you guys know about file classification, RMS protection? Okay, fair amount. So we have automated file classification running on the server. So you can do content analysis to find out if there's any sensitive information. And then, if there is sensitive information, you can choose to RMS encrypt it. By the way, on my PC, I'm running this as a dog food, and when I create content about Windows vNext, what happens to me is that this content gets uploaded to the server, gets scanned, and it sees that it's Windows vNext, so it's RMS encrypts it to the Windows team. So that I can send it to everyone in the Windows team. I didn't need to do anything. It just got RMS encrypted. But if I send it out to my accountant by mistake, he's not going to be able to open it. Again, the overall usage is very simple, but the mechanisms that are behind it are very, very sophisticated. And the information worker doesn't need to do anything. They don't need to say, this should be RMS protected, it should not be RMS protected. We tried that once. It's a huge, huge uphill battle to get information workers to do it. But if you do it for them and it doesn't disturb their work, you're good to go. Now, how many of you guys have RMS deployed in your organizations? Okay, so that few folks that do it, this is great. RMS is coming up with RMS online so that you don't even need to invest the effort to deploy and set up and maintain RMS. You can just use RMS online and you'll see you'll see how we do it in the demo. We don't use RMS Online in this demo, but you can as easily use RMS Online the same way that we use it here. Reporting on sensitive information. Let's say you have some users that have sensitive information. You found it. You want to report on it. That can easily be done on the file server side. And also, something that just comes, you know, you don't think about it, what antivirus protection. So if you run antivirus on the server, you get the benefit of not distributing. If I have some hacked device with some viruses on it, and I have a virus on a document, if I cut it off on the server side with antivirus, I don't distribute it out to other devices. I don't know how many of you are aware of these kind of attacks, but I think there was an attack that was published not long ago where somebody used Dropbox to kind of get an infected document to all the devices and, you know, get control over all the devices of some users. So again, this is stuff that's just there on the file server. We've worked on it for 20 years now. They're all there. The technologies are there. You bring the data to the file server, you do all the good stuff, you get it back to the devices, and IWs don't need to know about it, or they don't need to be involved. They just get the benefit of compliance, and you get the benefit of control. And of course, they get the benefit of being able to work on all the devices from anywhere, wherever they are. Did I cover everything? I think I did. Okay, Bill, dazzle us with the protection demo.
Thank you. Okay, back to Paul, the information worker from finance. But before we get into Paul and protection, basically there's a little story that the CIO from Contoso was very concerned after reading a lot of the trade journals about data leakage, especially with the advent of bring your own devices. Although nothing has happened at Contoso yet, he was concerned and talked to the IT admin about what could they do about it. And where the IT admin has a very good understanding of Windows Server, he recommended RMS. And the great thing about RMS is, as Nir pointed out in his extensive description, the IW worker doesn't have to do anything. If they just follow some standard policies on the way they describe their data, everything in the background is taken care of by the file server. But before I go into that, I wanted to just point out that when you see in work folders that the file names are green, that means they're EFS protected. So you have at least the protection on the file system per user. And here you can see it's the encrypted contents. I just wanted to point that out. And it also exists on the surface. So to continue with the demo, we have a confidential file here. At least at one time it was confidential until today. And it's a file that we've been using at Microsoft for a while. So I want to share this file across all my devices. It isn't protected currently except for EFS. And I'm going to save it to my work folders, if that works. Here we go. I'll just browse to work folders. Having trouble with the mouse. I don't know what's happening here. We'll just give it a second. Nir did mention this is the first time that we've ever showed this technology.
Well, you didn't save the file yet there, so did you save it now?
I'm just going to check. The file has been saved.
Okay, you want to close it?
I can do that.
and then we count to 10, right? Or you can just expand
no,
the seven.
Exactly. Yeah. Then we basically what's going on in the background here is this file is syncing to the file server. The content classification.
File is not what?
What's happening?
Did you close PowerPoint? You sure? Yeah, it's closed, no? Now it's closed. Okay.
Demo error. I needed to close PowerPoint. So basically, once I've saved the file in work folders, it's being streamed to the server where the classification engine is recognizing that it's high business impact, and the classification rules that have been set up will RMS encrypt the file. And I just want to do one more thing beforehand. This is not behaving.
Just to let you know, these things worked like 99 out of 100, so...
I would say every time I've been testing this for the last 2 days, it's been working fantastic. So I'm just going to try one thing here. Yeah, we're having a little problem. Basically, what I'd be showing you if this responded, and it may come back, is that the document will be RNS encrypted. A pop-up would show up when I was opening the file, which has pretty much happened every time I've been working on this. And then when I open it up on the surface, it would actually prompt me.
It's already RMS protected.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yeah.
So now I will show that. Just disregard the last 20 seconds.
Yes.
I'll just be very patient.
I told you to put this 5 hours energy into the machine. You can try and open it on the office PC.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thought. Nope.
Okay.
It's just a little slow now. You must be tired from all the demos we've been doing with it.
Yes, we've been working it hard. Very, very tired.
You have to admit, up to this point, the demo's been going flawlessly, right? Can I see a bunch of hands that say it's been going really well?
Let's try on the office PC.
Yes. We should get a raise.
Yeah.
Here you go. You can now see the RMS screen coming up, letting you know. And it finally showed up on the other side. It was a little raise. And it's prompting for credentials. If I can spell his name right. Hang on.
Forgot the C? Okay. So it's going to show you how it's not opening if you don't use the right.
What did I use wrong? Oh, that would do it. Sorry about that.
It's just trying to show the security aspect. So
yeah, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
I said the software worker. I didn't say I could type. Let's try that again. Okay, it's showing the data, and it's showing that it's high-impact data. So you absolutely know that it's protected with RMS.
We'll give you questions like in 10 minutes, so is that okay?
Okay. I'm going to get out. I want to get out of that. And the last part to this is, as Nia mentioned about selective wipe, a normal process that happens at any company is an employee leaves. And usually, before the advent of bring your own devices, they just turn in all their company equipment and you didn't have to worry about any data loss. But with the advent of bring your own devices, you now have content that's sitting on all of their devices. Well, if using Intune or another mobile device management that has the ability to do a selective wipe, so that you know you can then disallow access to your corporate data. I don't have Intune or another MDM running, so I'm just going to simulate it with a command. And picture yourself going to a portal and typing in the user's name and having the list of their devices that you are about to selective wipe. So unbeknownst to Paul, who's left the company and gone to Fabricam, he's now at his new job. He has some PowerPoint slide that he wants to duplicate because he'd like to save some time. So he goes to open up the file on his personal device. And he no longer has access. The rights have been revoked. And that concludes the demo.
Thank you, Bill, for that.
You're welcome.
Heart-stopping demo.
I'll take that as a compliment.
All right, so another question I wanted to ask you guys, how many of you have more than 5,000 users in your that would need to sync data? Okay, so you would need more than one server. You know, you can have one server syncing around, that's where our goal is, around 5,000 users, and everybody's happy. But then, if you wanted to, say, have 20,000 users and so on, you would need more than one server. You would want to scale out. You could use a cluster and scale out a cluster, or you could use multiple servers, multiple clusters. If you have a branch office, now users sync to one server. So if you're a user in China, you want him to sync to this China branch, and if you're a user in the US, you want him to sync to the US branch. If you have a specific department that really don't want to, you don't want to deal with, you just want to give them their server and make sure that they take care of themselves, that's another scenario where you would have multiple sync servers in your organization. And if you have very strict requirement about data compliance, say between finance and sales, you want to separate their servers, that's another reason why you would need to use multiple servers. Now, if you use multiple servers, when the user enters their email, you want them to get to the right server. So there's a challenge there. We wanted to make sure that we allow you to do that without needing to go full bore and do many crazy things. So we'll go and show you how we do that. And we also took into mind when we designed this that sometimes you want to migrate users between servers. Even when you get to the next release, we have a better server, stronger server, you decide that you want to go ahead and deploy that, we want to allow you to migrate users. Or if a user moves from one department to another, you want to migrate their data, that's another reason where you want to have simple migration. So a simple way for the user to find their servers, a simple way to migrate the users, that's what we had in mind when we thought about multiple servers. Okay, so the most simple solution ever that will have a toll on you and the users is to use a URL. As I said before, you can actually set that, you can actually have the user specify a URL or use group policy, specify the URL for the user. You can send him an email, say, you know, join work folders, here's your URL. He goes into the control panel, enters the URL, and is on the server. That's simple. However, if the user moves to another server, if you want to if he moves to another department and so on, he has the onus of needing to go and change that URL and unregister and register again and so on. So we also allow you to use another solution that's not based on URL, and I'll talk about it in a second, but I don't want to say that using a URL is bad. It's okay. You know, if you're able to say all the sales guys go to this URL, all the finance guys go to that URL, that would work fine. It's a very, very, very simple solution. Work folders supports that. If you wanted to go a notch higher, work folders also supports a simple auto discovery. And the way this works is as follows. You need to specify somewhere in Active Directory where the user, which server the user should go to, which sync server the user should go to. And then, when the user first enters his email, he gets to one of the work folders servers, one of the sync servers. The sync server looks him up, the user looks him up in Active Directory and says, oh, you should go to another sync server, and just redirects him to another sync server. Now, if you want to move the user to a different server, you change that in Active Directory, and the user would get, you move the user to the right security groups, of course, and the user would get rerouted to the appropriate server again. So the flow is, let's say I'm Joe at contoso.com. When I enter Joe at contoso.com, what the work folders client does, it takes that and translates it to the server is at workfolders.contoso.com. That URL gets to one of the sync servers or multiple sync servers. You can do round robin or whatever you'd like to do. And then, let's say in this case, it got to sync one. And we are at step number three. Sync one looks up in Active Directory. Where does Joe need to go to? He first authenticates Joe, of course. Looks up where Joe needs to go to and discovers that this is sync three. So he then sends back to the work folders client and says, go to sync three. And from there on, the work folders client, at step number five, would go to the sync three server. Now, if anything changed, like the user moved to a different security group and now moved to a different server, that process will just get restarted the next time the device tries to go to sync three. And that's how we allow you to support multiple servers. You need to update your schema, update your AD schema in order to do that. So that's the first time you need to touch AD. You need to update the schema for that, and you need to also, of course, provision the right server URL to that new attribute that we have in the user schema. All the other stuff we do for you. All right, so key takeaways. It's simple. And if you want to use file servers to have your users sync their data from anywhere on all their devices while adhering to the compliance that you need on the backend file servers, work folders, once we release it, will be a great solution to go to. Questions, please. You had an RMS question.
Yes, I was just wondering why your Office PC was prompting for a user ID and password if it already knows who you are, you're locked in there.
That is an excellent question. That is because we didn't set the trust for IE on the Office PC. You need to set a trust between the IE and RMS server in order for this to use Kerberos. Okay, but you're right, that's a great question. That's why the demo is usually doing it on the surface when it's not getting stuck. I'm sorry, the question was, why did the Office PC prompt for user credentials on the RMS and not just use Kerberos credentials? And the answer was, as I said. Yes, please. By the way, you can come to the microphone if you want to. You don't have to, I can repeat your question as well. Okay.
The last thing with the auto discovery, does that, we're talking about email accounts integrated with AD, is that taking into account
That's a great question. The question was whether the email, and I'm going back to that slide, the email was in any way, shape, or form connected to Office 365 and live accounts. So the answer is no. The email is simply used to calculate a predefined HTTP address for the four work folders. So if you look at step number two, we basically strip out the end, the Joe and at, and whatever is after the at, we leave, and we append work folders at the beginning in order to find, to kind of have an automatic address that we go to for work folders for your organization. So if, for example, you're, you know, near at Microsoft.com, then we would go to, if you enter near at Microsoft.com, we would actually calculate, oh, let's go to workfolders.microsoft.com. Microsoft would publish a DNS for workfolders.microsoft.com that would get into a sync server, and from there on, we would find the right sync server and go through the discovery process. Does that answer your question? Yeah, so the question was whether it has anything to do with ADFS or things like that. For this process, we don't use ADFS or anything. All we do with your email, we don't even verify that it's your right email. We just use it as a way to calculate the HTTPS address that we're going to initiate contact with. After you initiate contact with it and you find the right sync server, you would get prompted from credentials, and then we would actually use the real username password for you. Any other questions? Yes, please.
You mentioned the 2012 schema change extension. Is that inferring that you're already at 2012 on your AD at that point?
Great question. The question was whether I need to have a 2012 AD environment in order to extend the schema for work folders. The answer is no. You can use any AD environment. So only this row asks questions. Any other rows wants to ask questions? Yes, please.
With auto-discovery, I'm just assuming that happens a web server in IIS.
So the question was whether the auto-discovery requires a web server in IIS. That's a great question. I didn't go into that. The deep dive would go into that. But the work folders sync is built on top of the IIS web core. So basically, we're adding into the file server, we're adding the, when you enable the feature, you're also adding the IIS web core on the file server. So, okay? Any other questions? There, sounds like very far, but yeah.
This, user leaves the company and they lose their access to the file, does that file ever disappear, or I'm kind of worried about low-level attacks on the file?
So I couldn't hear what you're worried about. So the question was whenever a user leaves the company and we kind of selective wipe their data, we don't touch the server. So it's only their device gets wiped. The server, the data on the server stays intact.
What we saw was the file still was there, but when you double clicked on it, it said you didn't have access.
Correct. So that's a great question. The question was whether you can actually go, say, as an admin or a kernel, and through the kernel get access to the file after it's been wiped. Basically, you cannot, because what happens is the file is encrypted, and then we took the key and threw it into the ocean. So if you don't have the key, doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what level you're running at, you cannot access that data unless you use a supercomputer and so on, which people do today. So, you know. And of course, as Molly mentioned to me just now, whispered to me, we also, you know, break the connection with the server. After I wipe the surface, we break the connection so that we don't sync that junk into the server as well. Does that answer your question, by the way? Thank you.
So
yes.
You are removing the file as part of the selective wipe, not just breaking the connection.
So the question was whether we're removing a file when we're doing selective wipe. we just remove the key to open all these files. So all these files are encrypted with an encryption key.
Why not remove the file?
So we could remove the file as well if we wanted to. There's two answers to this. First, you want to remove the key in any case, because if you delete the file, you have residue of the file in your on your disk. So that's why we do that. Now, we could delete the files, but we didn't. We just didn't do that. I'm sorry?
There's security guys in my organization that will lose their mind over the concept for exactly the reason that gentleman mentioned, that enough effort, brute force, somebody somewhere could.
I think that's a great input point that we'll take and think about it. Thank you. Yeah, that's another great point. So remember that the user did have access to the files at some point. But you're right that, you know, that's another entry point of the name of the file. Say, you know, people that are supposed to be fired at some date. So you know that there's something going to happen that date. So that's another good thing. And we'll take this feedback. We didn't ship the 2012 R2 yet, so we'll take that feedback and see if we can put something in there. Thanks for the feedback. Any other question? Yes, please.
If there's file type restrictions on the server side, how does that work in the second?
Excellent question. So the question was, if there are file type restrictions, like let's say, you know, I'm on the server, I say .pst is not allowed to sync. So basically, what we recommend is that you don't restrict from syncing, but you do what you do is you have what we call soft screens. So, for example, if you put a PST on your desktop, it would say, you know, we see a PST on your desktop. We'll send you an email. We see a PST on your desktop. Please remove it from your work folders because it's not allowed to sync. But so that's what we recommend you doing. Now, if you didn't do that, if you wanted a hard block, you could do that. What would happen is the file would go up. It would fail to be stored on your work folder on the server, and you would see a sync error on your client.
So your recommendation would be some custom automated solution?
No. The file server does have a way to just use soft screens, and it will just send you an email to the right user and say, files here are not allowed to go on the server. Please remove them. You can do the same for, say, you found some HBI data on some salesperson's HBI, meaning high impact data, on some sales on the sales work folders. You could send them an email and say, you know, you have some high impact data or you have some PII data on your corporate machine. Please remove it from that. You could also delete it if you wanted to. So you have the options. Again, there's very, very rich data management capabilities on the file server there. Other questions? Yes, please. So we don't have a published ETA on these devices yet. And Android is just there after the corner, after iPad and Windows 7. That's a great question. Yes, please.
So looking at the picture you've got on the screen there, does the actual file server have to have the work folder functionality on, or can you have a work folder server in front of a file server?
You guys are taking away my job. Like, I need to also design the next tree, so I don't know what to do now. But the question was whether it has to be the data has to sit on the file server, either directly or some other way, or do we also support something like a backend SMB device, SMB share, as the storage for the file servers? So in Server 2012 R2, we don't support that configuration yet.
I assume from what you said that a user can only have one work folder.
I'm sorry?
Is it true that
That's another limitation that we have in R2, that the user, think about that, the way we think about R2 is that this is the user's data. So it's not the department data or something else. You can, it's your data, you have your work folders on your device, it gets synced to all your devices. Okay? Great question. Yes, please.
What if that folder's stored on a DFS share as far as the encrypted files? When it gets synchronized to the other server, and the DFS, the other target, can you open that file from the other server as well? So if one server dies, can you point it to the other server and open that as well?
So the question was about DFSR, DFS replication. Let's say you replicated the work folders to different servers, and the question was also about encryption. So on the server, the data is not encrypted. It's only on the client devices. So you could replicate it. If you wanted to replicate it as some kind of a backup or some kind of a DR, it would be okay as long as you have one, you know, you have one server that is actually the write point and all others are readers. I'm sorry? No namespace. Yeah, this is about DFS replication, if I understand correctly.
Well, we use namespaces as well for our redirection.
Yeah, namespaces are like shares. So, as I said to the gentleman there, we don't support namespaces or external shares in server R2. There was another question here, yes. That's another great question, is about why won't we have direct access for every device? So actually, I don't know if you were in the people-centric foundation session, but Adam can correct me if I'm wrong. We do have a way to do VPN from any device, from both iPads and, of course, Windows, so that you can set up direct access. You can even do that per application. So you can have an application that does VPN. Adam, jump in if I'm saying something wrong.
I think is the extra to VPN to make that one. The bigger question though, or the bigger point I would make is that
you want to talk to the mic, Adam. Adam is our marketing guy.
All right, I'm going to kind of face you and try and talk to the audience. I think the meta point I'd make there, though, is that here in the US, we've got good connectivity with really good data caps around the world. When you move to cellular devices and you move to unconnected devices, the point we're trying to get to here is a sync service rather than an always-on service. If you've got clients that are always connected to high bandwidth connectivity with no data caps, your Solaria would work. That's not the commonality around the world. So it's a different scenario that we're trying to answer. We also are answering your scenario, though, which is with the app-triggered VPN and 8.1, where when you launch an app, it magically gets access to the back end. So we're kind of having a dollar each way there, but the disconnected and data caps and cellular connectivity is what we're trying to overcome here.
And if that works for you, that's okay. You can use that. Yeah. Any other questions? There was, yes, please, go ahead. So that's how we would use the DNS to get to the file server, absolutely. Yeah, that's, you just described how you would deploy it. Yes, that's great. Yes, please.
If I have a device with only limited storage, can I say I just want certain folders in it and all folders?
Perfect question. So if I have a device with a limited capacity on it, can I actually limit what gets down to the device? So the answer is that for Windows, you cannot. We would actually, what we would do is, we would stop syncing to your device once we get up to a specific threshold. We would just stop syncing because we don't want to get your device to zero storage. Again, it depends on how you're set up specifically. If you have a data disk, then we would actually fill it. If you have a system disk, we would stop at 5 gigabytes. As we look to iPad, it would be more flexible. Yes. Any other question? Yes, please.
You mentioned before that you support quotas. Do you support folder-based quotas?
Yes. The question was whether we support folder-based quotas. The quotas on the server are folder-based quotas. Yes. So we're using the file server resource manager. You can assign quotas on the, let's say you have a sync share. You can assign quotas on the sync share and have the users, each user has his own quota as the users' folders are created. So you can say each user in this sync share would be 5 gigabytes. As the user folder is created, it gets a 5 gigabyte quota. And then you can have another sync share that says each user can get 10 gigabytes here. Right, and so on and so on. Yeah, the deep dive tomorrow, we'll talk about that. Other questions? These are great questions, by the way. Thank you. Yes?
How do you plan to solve the challenge on iPad and Android of opening RMS protected documents?
The question was, how do I open RMS protected documents on iPad and Android? The RMS team promised me that they'll be able to do it. That's how I solve it. Question there, yes? Two great questions. Let's start with the thresholds of bandwidth. So you cannot set the thresholds on the bandwidth used, but we are actually very sensitive, for example, to metered connections. So you could say for metered connection, you know, just stop syncing or things like that. And we usually don't, we actually measured a little bit. We don't take that much of bandwidth. You know, you work on a document, we just sync it up, and you're done. The other question was about setting it up to documents. Documents is just a pointer. So you could set it up to documents, yes. But be careful, because on your home device, you want documents to point to your personal documents and not to your work folders. And on your work device, you want documents to point to your work data. So if you're setting it differently, you need to remember where you put what. And that's why we kind of chose the simple solution of having a folder for work folders. And we will put it in the favorites or whatever the right connection is to get you to, so it's easy for you to get there. But once people are already trained to go to the right place with SkyDrive and so on. So they would just know the concept already. So you're playing into the concept is already known. You're just using the same concept. You don't need to train the folks. With documents, you might get a lot of confusion from your users, especially when they bring in their home device. Yes, please. One last question, because we need to wrap up, and then you know we'll be out here as well as in the server booth. You can come talk to us. Yes, please.
What if your documents are
EFS? What if the question was, what if the document is already RMS encrypted?
Or
EFS encrypted. So EFS is local to the machine, right? So even if you EFS it on the server, once it gets out of the server, it's free and clear. And then when it gets to the client machine, we EFS it again. Does that make sense? Okay. Thank you very much, guys, for your time.
Thank you.
And please use work folders and let us know how it is.
Sorry.